So I'm Joe Adamo. I joined the travel industry in August of 2011, so 12 years. I joined as Senior Director of Marketing for Transat, hired by Annick Guérard, who is our current CEO. So had the good fortune, I guess, of joining the travel industry at a fairly senior role. Paid my dues elsewhere, but not in travel.
Welcome to Voices of Travel, The Next Chapters, an interview series that captures the passion, humor, and character of 15 remarkable people as they tell us the stories of their careers in the industry. Thanks for joining me, Joseph. I was going to ask you about that. You did come from outside the industry, and I'm interested in your observations of the industry when you arrived. As a newcomer, how did you see the industry at that time?
I think after 12 years, I think I've shaken the newbie tag. But yeah, when I joined the industry in 2011, one of the things I was mandated with was trying to modernize how Transat went to market, its advertising, its communications approaches. So, moving that into more the digital space, starting to embrace social media and that sort of thing. So what struck me when I joined the industry, a couple things. It was and still is very much a people business, a people industry. I came from telecommunications and various other industries where I would say, getting to travel, I found it to be, and this is going to sound pejorative, but I found it to be, in some respects, unsophisticated. And by that I mean in terms of business practices, processes. Certainly, the airline side of the industry is and was even then quite sophisticated, quite rigorous. But the other trades, like tour operating and retail and others, fairly artisanal was my take day one.
If I said to you that when you arrived, the attitude was that this is the way we do things, because this is the way we've always done things. This was the attitude you encountered? Is that a fair comment?
For sure, and you have that everywhere. And I do have to say, I'm not dogmatic that, you know, if it was always done this way, it must inherently be wrong. That's not my worldview. On the other hand, I don't accept that, you know, because it was always done is the right thing to do. I think you've got to take a mix of both. I think the legacy, the history is important to know. And then you build off that. And then you say, okay, well, you know, what can I do differently? Such as, you know, in the 2011 era, you know, embracing digital media to speak to the traveling public. And to the trade. So that, you know, those are things that, you know, I was tasked with, you know, trying to bring forward. And I think it's paid off.
What's the biggest change you've seen during your time in the business, Joseph?
It's probably technology. And that, you know, it impacts everything along the travel journey. How we interact with, you know, trade partners, how they, you know, our retail partners interact with consumers, travelers. You know, in the last 12 years, You know, we've almost done away with paper. We're not quite a paperless society. But if you think of, you know, what things were like just a short 12 years ago, I mean, today you can do everything on a smartphone, up to and including checking in and boarding your plane. So I'd say, you know, technology has probably been the thread through those 12 years. And, you know, while unsettling at times for some, I think by and large, it's made us a better, more efficient industry. I think it leads to better customer experience outcomes. I think it allows all of us to work smarter, hopefully more efficiently, and hopefully more profitably.
You arrived at the time that social media began to take hold in the market. I'm just wondering how you see social media impacting on the agency and tour operating sides of the business. Has the industry learned to use social media efficiently?
You know, short answer, yes. I recall, though, Bob, I think it was year one on the job. I hired, at the time, our first social media expert in 2011. And that's now grown into almost a full-fledged department and, you know, with many tentacles. We now interact with, you know, agents and travelers on social media platforms. But I recall hiring the first person who's still with us today. It's a nice story. You know, I think it's gotten a little, it can get a little toxic in certain environments. But given that, you know, people increasingly spend time on those platforms, you have to be there to reach your audience, regardless of who that audience is. So do we use it efficiently? I think ever more so. But like anything else, there's best practice or better practices. And I think we're still, you know, feeling our way through those. But for sure, I think today it's become an indispensable, almost invaluable tool, whether you're a, you know, retail agent, a tour operator, an airline, you need to live on social media, regardless of what those platforms are.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe your job covers both the tour operator and the agency sides of the business. I'm wondering if you can talk about how the tour operating side of the business has changed. And the same with the agency side.
You know, I'm a bit of a history buff. So, you know, joining Transat all those years ago, as I said, Anik hired me. But, you know, very quickly was exposed to Jean-Marc Eustache and had the good, you know, fortune and privilege of also interacting with the two other founders, Lina and Philippe. So, you know, working, I learned very quickly that, you know, Transat, which is now 36 years old, started as a humble travel agency, student travel focused, and then morphed into, you know, what we know today. And, you know, along the way, you know, I've had the good fortune of working both on the, you know, supplier side, on the retail side. And today, yes, you know, my role spans both. I think about this a lot, you know, and I am convinced that having that duality, you know, makes, you know, having retail makes Transat a much better supplier, you know, tour operator, airline. And I think for TDC, having this association link with Transat makes it a much better retailer, a much better consortium. There's a synergy, a collaboration, an empathy that works both ways, and I think it makes for stronger operating units.
That speaks to the people point that you made earlier.
It is the people, and it's the understanding, and it's always, well, empathy is the word, right? Empathy is understanding what, you know, the person, you know, across the table from you needs to go through, what their objectives are, what their constraints are, and vice versa. Again, I think it makes us something special, challenging at times, but I think overall, you know, we love where we are, and you know, to this day, 36 years later, retail is still a very big part of what Transat is.
Now, there have certainly been a lot of events that have impacted the industry, and I'm wondering what's been the biggest one with the biggest impact during your time in the business.
Right. So with my timing, I can't speak to 9/11 or SARS. I was in different industries dealing with those challenges. So it's obvious. It's March 2020 when the world changed probably forever. So the pandemic is by far the most significant event that I've experienced in the industry. You know, as you know, we're coming on 4 years now, 3.5, 4 years. You know, I don't look back fondly because it was absolutely excruciating, potentially soul destroying, economically catastrophic. Pick your superlative or adjective. But I do look back now and say, wow, we got through it. And that, you know, that there's an industry aspect to that. But more near in, I'm extremely proud of how Transat, our colleagues, got through this. And today, you know, we stand proudly, you know, ready for the next 10, 20 years.
Has the pandemic changed the way you look at your business or do business with your partners? Can you give me some insights here?
It has, in that, you know, and I would say really in the last, let's say year and a bit, when we, you know, as an industry, we really restarted, I'm gonna say mid-22, give or take. And, you know, in that period, you're kind of like, you're wanting to go for it, but then you're cautious because can there be another wave? Can there be another variant? So, you know, there was certainly that, I would say, up until a few months ago. I think we're past that. I think, and so what that means is you can resume risk taking, because business is nothing if not, you know, taking risk and managing risk. That's a big part of what being in business is all about. And I see we are resuming more normal behaviors, more normal patterns as pertains to business risk. And that's a healthy thing. So has it changed us permanently? Time will tell. You know, old habits die hard, Bob.
We've always done things this way.
Yeah, you know, and I think as a people, there's tremendous resilience in humanity. You know, I think, you know, in a couple of years, if there isn't, you know, heaven help us, another you know, global pandemic, I think it'll just be something in the past. And that's probably the way it should be.
Changing the subject a bit, I know that Transat as an organization has been involved in sustainability for quite a while now. And I'm wondering if you can talk about Transat's approach to sustainability and how important is sustainability to the company?
It's extremely important, and I would say it's increasingly important. you know, our CEO, and Nick, and the executive team, are really committed to sustainability. And you know, what does that mean? You know, your practices need to be sustainable, in a few ways. How you treat people, how you treat, how you do business with others. So, you know, whether they're here or around the world, and obviously the environmental footprint. I mean, that is a big part, but it's not the only part of sustainability, but it is absolutely front and center. There's no question that, you know, as a significant airline, a significant tour operator, you know, we participate in greenhouse gas emissions. We have leadership now that work just on these initiatives, and ensure that throughout the organization there is increased awareness, there is increased acceptance for, you know, having to change behaviors. It involves what we do with our supplier partners, but it starts at home as well. What we do in our facilities, on our planes, electrification of air travel is the dream, right? And so, you know, we're seeing some of that, but not yet in commercial aviation. Sustainable aviation fuels, I think, are a big part of that until we get to, if not full on, at least partial electrification of jet propulsion, which is why, you know, just 2 years ago, we made a significant investment in the SAF Plus Consortium, which is a Montreal-based technology that is seeking to produce the cleanest sustainable aviation fuel possible. Despite having, you know, a lot of issues to get through in terms of getting through the pandemic. So extremely important. I do want and hope that as an industry, we do a better job in the next 10 years. I think it has to happen. It absolutely has to happen. As you say, I mean, the climate change of the last, experienced in the last few months alone, I think is proof enough that we need to, as a species, do a better job.
You can answer this or not answer this as you see fit. But I have to ask about the fact that Air Canada wanted to acquire Transat, and that deal didn't happen. Has this set Transat on a different course? Has its vision now changed? I'm just trying to get a sense of where the company wants to go or where it's going.
You know, we need to go back to, you know, why was the transaction a good thing? You know, beyond the financial upside of the transaction. It made sense from Transat's point of view, because we had come to the realization that we needed to change. We needed to expand our air network and go beyond being strictly a, you know, point-to-point leisure carrier and tour operator. Doing that with Air Canada was an excellent way of accomplishing that. You know, you join the flag carrier and their worldwide network. It made sense. Now, when the deal fell, we said, okay, well, we're going to do it on our own. So it has changed our course in that, you know, today we have co-chair capabilities, which we never had pre-COVID or even pre-transaction. And so we are doing what we set to do, but doing it on our own with partners such as Porter, who's a terrific partner There's a great complementarity between Porter's network and our network. So yeah, it has changed, but it started before we even contemplated the deal.
Let's go back to technology, because the buzz out there in the industry and beyond is all about artificial intelligence. And I wonder how you see AI, good or bad, impacting the industry. And if you have any idea where AI is going.
First off, generative AI, ChatGPT and the others, it's not the boogeyman, but it's real, okay? And I think, you look at the adoption, the use of this, technology in less than a year, right? In a way, the world changed in November of 2022 when ChatGPT came out. And there have been several releases since and others. So it is very, very real. My experience is that change is never as fast and it's never as dramatic as the promoters will have you believe. But it's also never as slow as the naysayers would have you believe. So, this technology won't go away. It is useful. Depends how you use it. I think it's a great productivity enhancer. I don't see it replacing, what a travel advisor does. But can it be a tool that a travel advisor uses to build content, to tap into content, to help the travel advisor be a better travel advisor? Can companies use it to make their workforces more efficient? To be, more accessible to your clients. Absolutely. But to me, these things are not all or nothing propositions. I think it's a tool. I would emphasize, don't put your head in the sand, but don't assume everything's changing by next Tuesday. You got to keep step. You got to put your toe in the water. You got to keep abreast of what's happening, and then things unfold. But I'm not smart enough to know exactly how that will happen. But I think it's about the mindset.
Did you have a mentor, Joseph? Did you have somebody that influenced you in the industry?
I had mentors before joining travel and, in my, let's call it my formative years. And they were helpful to me then and today. Certainly in travel, there have been a few, I had the privilege of learning from Jean-Marc Eustache and Annick Guérard. So what a rare privilege to have worked by their side for my entire 12 years. The history with Jean-Marc more the present and the future with Annick. They're very different people, but both are inspiring, incredible leaders, and very generous, and they have been with me. Feel very, very fortunate, very blessed to have worked and to continue working with such gifted leaders.
What if somebody asked you if they should get into the travel industry? What kind of advice would you give them?
I'd say absolutely. It's a fantastic industry. There's a nobility to what we do. I think we make the human condition better by bringing people together. I think we we break down distances that separate people, both figuratively and literally. So I would say absolutely, it's a wonderful, wonderful industry. What advice would I give? You know, be agile, be open-minded, but be rigorous as well. You know, be disciplined in how you do things. Be kind to your clients, to your partners, and hopefully that comes back to you.
So Joseph, I want you to look into the future and tell me what you see 10 years from now. What's the industry going to look like with all of these things going on?
Prognosticating is tough, but I do see a very good 10 years ahead of us. Again, I come back to the pandemic, and it really showed us, I think, as a species, how important travel is. And I think, you know, that if there's a positive legacy from the pandemic, I think it's that. I think it's that. People will not do without those connections. So I think that helps us. I would also say that, you know, demographically, things look good for our country and our industry. Our population is growing. We welcome immigration to fuel our economy, our labor force, and our country. So that brings with it opportunities to have these new Canadians travel, whether it be, you know, to a sun holiday or to go back home, former home, to visit their friends and relatives. I think that bodes well for us as an industry. Demographically as well, there's a tremendous, you know, intergenerational transfer of wealth that is afoot. I've read it's $1 trillion will trickle down from older generations to younger generations. And, you know, that could fuel discretionary spending such as travel. So I'm fairly bullish on the next 10 years. I think travel from Canada to Canada, I think we'll do all right.
Joseph, thanks for telling us your story. And thanks to all of you for joining me for this episode. I'm Bob Mowat, Executive Editor of Canadian Travel Press, and I hope you'll join me for another remarkable conversation on Voices of Travel, the next chapters.